I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. When I was a kid growing up, Advent was by far my least favorite season. I hated Advent more than I hated Lent, where I had to give something up. I despised the season. And the main reason I hated the season is actually because of the Advent wreath. Every week we would come to church and I would sit in the pews and painfully watch one candle get lit. And then the next week, two candles. And the next week, three candles would be lit. And the next week, four candles would be lit. And there's still not Christmas. I had to wait 5 whole weeks for Christmas, and the Advent started what seems like forever away. And I wanted to rush through the season and get to Christmas, and I hated the constant reminder of how far away we were from Christmas. As I've grown up, I like this season a little bit more. It's still not my favorite season. It's probably not my least favorite season anymore. But there's still the part of me that is very childlike and just wants to get to Christmas. I want to rush through the season of Advent. I don't want to wait. I don't want to prepare my heart. I just want the joy that's coming on Christmas morning. Advent, if you define the word Advent, means coming. It means that something good is coming. And the season of Advent is to prepare our hearts for the second coming of Christ. And in doing so, we prepare our hearts to receive Jesus on Christmas morning. When we started Advent last year, we started Advent with the book of Mark. And for the better part of the year, we spent in Mark's gospel. And each gospel has their own flavor and their own way of defining Jesus, and they have a message that each gospel writer wants to get across. And for the better part of the year, we spent time in Mark. And Mark is urgent. Mark wants to get to the point of Jesus very quickly. He leaves out a lot of fluff and details about Jesus, and he urgently wants you to understand that Jesus is the Son of God. And this year, we're starting in the season of Advent, and we start with a new gospel writer, and we start with Luke. And we will spend the predominant part of this year in Luke. And Luke tarries. Where Mark urgently wanted you to get to Jesus, Luke takes his time. And Luke is a little gentler. He's fuzzier around the edges. He wants you to understand the kindness and compassion of Jesus. Luke was a physician, and the same author that wrote the Gospel of Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And while in our Bible they're divided by the Gospel of John, a lot of theologians will tell you that you should read the Gospel of Luke and then immediately read the book of Acts, because they are written by the same author. And they're really like one book divided into chapters. And when you separate them with the Gospel of John, you lose a little bit of the magic between Luke and Acts. But Luke was a physician, and he wanted you to understand that Jesus was like the best physician you could ever see. If you envision going to the doctor yourself, that Luke wants you to see that Jesus is like the physician that you come to and you don't have to wait a long time to see the doctor. And you go in and you tell the doctor everything that's going on. You lay out every symptom that you have. And the good doctor listens to you, hears your concerns, and then prescribes something that will help you immediately. Luke wants you to understand that's who Jesus is. You come to Jesus with your concerns and your worries of this life, and Jesus will answer in a way that will change your life and provide you with the healing that you need. In our gospel reading today, we have the apocalyptical texts, and most of Advent we're going to spend in the apocalyptical time, the end time, the time of after Jesus' death. And it's a little bit hard to get into the Christmas season when you keep hearing about the end time. Then we have to remember that Advent is not actually to prepare us for the Christmas season, it's to prepare us for the second coming of Christ and to prepare our hearts to receive the joy that Jesus brings on Christmas morning. And the whole point of this gospel reading is that preparation. And I would say that this gospel reading in particular stands aside because it lets us ask theological questions that maybe we're not prepared for. In my house this year, we have a 4-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. And we have a rule in my house that every time you talk about Santa, you have to talk about Jesus. We can't be a house that mentions Santa more than we mention Jesus. My husband is also a priest, so we feel like we really have to talk about Jesus more than Santa. So we're talking about Christmas and what it means, and my 4-year-old is in that stage of life where why is a big question, and everything is met with a question. And so we were telling him about Jesus being a gift for everybody. And that's why you get presents on Christmas morning. Because he was very concerned that he was going to have to give his presents to baby Jesus. Because it wasn't his birthday, it was Jesus's birthday. Why should he be getting Christmas gifts? So I said, well, Jesus is a gift for everybody. And he said, well, how? How is Jesus a gift for everyone? And I said, well, Jesus, you know, comes and we invite Jesus to live into our hearts. And that way, you know, Jesus comes so we can treat our friends and our family better. And we can be nice and kind and loving to everyone that we know. And he looks at me and he says, how? How is Jesus going to come live in my heart? That was a question I was not prepared for. And the truth is, I don't know. He just does, William. He just does. He comes and lives in your heart. I don't know how it happens, it just does. I actually told this story in front of Bishop Fisher, the Bishop of Western Massachusetts, and he laughed and he said, I don't really have a good answer either. But we stand up here every Sunday and we talk about platitudes and we say, Jesus is gonna come live in your heart. In the season of Advent, we're gonna prepare for Jesus to come live in your heart. And then my four-year-old asks the theological question, how? How do I invite Jesus into my heart? How does Jesus live in my heart? And that's a question that we get to ask ourselves this Advent. And so in our gospel reading today, it starts with the fig tree, and we get this example of what it means when the fig starts blooming and the other trees start blooming. And it's a little tough for us to understand here in New England when we've already had our first dusting of snow and there is no new life, and we look outside and pretty much every tree has lost all of their leaves. There's a couple that are clinging on right there, but for the most part, there's not new life here. And it's hard to envision the fig tree blooming. And Jesus says, when you see that, you know that summer is near. We have a lot of winter and a lot of spring to get to before we get to summer. And it can be tough to understand what it means for Jesus to say that the fig tree is blooming and that there is going to be goodness that is coming. And then the second part of the gospel, we continue with Jesus telling them not to squander money, not to be drunk, and not to worry. And that I feel a little bit called out about. Because I am a great worrier. And I would argue that worrying is not the same as being regularly drunk and squandering away money. And yet Jesus elevates those to the exact same thing. And so when I was reading this reading and we were looking at Luke's gospel, you have to remember that Luke starts his gospel reading different than any other gospel book. And the first line of Luke 1:1, is one of the most notoriously profound gospel entrances, where Luke says in Luke 1:1, I am writing because several people have written about the accounts that have taken place, and I have done research, and I am writing so that you may know what is true. And the second important thing about Luke's gospel is that Luke elevates women in the gospel unlike any other of the gospel readings. Most of the women that we encounter in all of the gospel readings are unnamed. But when an unnamed woman appears in Luke, they are always referenced as daughter in the original Greek. The most notable one that you would probably know is the story of the woman suffering from hemorrhages who reaches out to touch the cloak of Jesus. And then in the other gospel readings, they say, go, your faith has made you well. In Luke's gospel reading, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Luke is fluffier and gentler. And he shows a Jesus that is much kinder. And so this Sunday, when we talk about Advent and we talk about Luke's gospel reading and we talk about worrying in particular, and when the gospel reading says that he doesn't want us to worry to the point where we can't live our lives, I'm reminded by this same Advent wreath that I didn't like as a kid, and the very first candle that we light that has the meaning of hope. Hope. I have to believe that there is some amount of worrying that is normal. It is normal for parents to worry about their kids. It's normal for adult kids to worry about their parents. It is normal to worry about this pandemic. I have to believe that there is some amount of worrying that is normal, and that is not the worrying that Jesus is talking about. But I believe instead that Jesus is talking about worrying to the point where we can't do anything else, worrying to the point where we forget that the fig tree will bloom, and that summer is coming, and that the season of darkness and the season of cold and the season of nothingness will end. Last year for Christmas, I preached on the hymn, O Holy Night, that says, a weary world rejoices. And I preached on being a weary world that rejoices. And I have to tell you, nearly 2 years into this pandemic, I am a lot more weary today than I was a year ago. And when I preached on that hymn on Christmas Eve, I could still rejoice. But today I don't want to rejoice. I am weary. I am weary. And we have new strains of this, of the coronavirus coming out, what seems like regularly. We're not sure if vaccines are effective against it. And I'm weary. I'm tired. And I don't feel like rejoicing. And yet, Jesus in our gospel reading is saying you have to hold on to the courage of hope. You have to. Because the fig tree will bloom, summer will come. And that hymn, if you're familiar with O Holy Night, that hymn continues. It says, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And this year, what I'm holding on to is the new and glorious morn that is coming. Because while I don't feel like rejoicing today, and I don't really feel like preparing to let Jesus into my heart on Christmas morning, and I don't really feel very Christmassy or in the season, I have to somehow hold on to the courage of hope and trust that a new day is breaking. The fig tree will bloom. The kingdom of God is near. Jesus promises it is. And if we can just hold on to that courage of hope, then maybe when the new day breaks, we'll be there ready to receive it. Amen.